uplifted hand, and we will consider ourselves no longer in conference, and we'll turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 6. I will say, Brother Bill read something there in the minutes that reminded me. Now, we gave some money to Brother Nathan Reed, the missionary, is it Romania? I get the Eastern Bloc countries over there all mixed up, but he sent me an email, and I didn't print it off. I guess I should have, but he was thanking the church. I sent him an email and told him what we'd done, and he replied to it and said that was a great boost to their faith and that was an answer to prayer, and they were very, very thankful and for the gift and the monthly support, and just was really thankful. So I just wanted to pass that along, and if I didn't delete it and I can remember, I'll print it off and bring it. But I might have deleted that, I don't know, but I did read it and he was thankful. So anyway, I wanted to mention that as it come to my mind there. I meant to mention it before now, but Mark chapter 6, and I'm thankful to be here tonight. You know, we were out. And I think that is last week. Kim and I both had a cold, and after the funeral on Tuesday, it just hit both of us about the same time. She might have been just a little ahead of me on it, but that I think that's the first time we've ever missed church at the same time. And I hated that we missed last Wednesday night. But glad to be back tonight and last Sunday and feeling so much better. We thank the Lord for that. But we want to read tonight in Mark chapter 6, verses 45 down through verse number 52. And I will actually probably go down through the end of the chapter. We'll just see if the Lord lets us get that far. But we're going to start in verse number 45 and read down through verse number 52. The Bible said, "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them, and about the fourth watch of the night he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up into them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." And this passage of Scripture is generally called something along the lines, Jesus walks on the sea, Jesus walks on the water. If you've got a Scofield Bible, it says Jesus walks on the sea. And this same passage of Scripture is also found in Matthew chapter 14 and John chapter number 6. And when you're thinking about the parallel passages in the Bible, there's two ways to study them. You can study them all together, and they should all always be looked at together, or you can study them alone. And we're going to look at this one just by itself tonight. But when you study them all together, and what I mean, you know, we read here in Mark 6, we turn over to Matthew 14, read over there, read over in John chapter number 6, and you're going to find some details that you don't find here. And that does not mean that there is a mistake in the Bible or that there is a contradiction in the Bible. Just because three different men wrote about the same thing and they didn't all write exactly the same thing, that in no way means that there's a contradiction there. If we, if you chose three men in here and we all saw the same car wreck and we all wrote about it, all of us would describe it in a different way. There'd be some of the same things, and there'd be some different things. And that's how it is when you look in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's some that is the same things, and some there's just a little bit different. But when we study them all together, we get a fuller picture of what was going on. Just like in the case of, if I said three men saw something happen, they all wrote about it. Well, if we were investigating, we'd read what all three of them had to say. And we'd learn from that. And but here, for example, if we were to look at Matthew, Mark, and John, you'll see that this is also the same place that Peter walked on the water. But here in Mark chapter number 6, there's no mention of Peter walking on the water. In Matthew, when it talks about Peter walking on the water, there's a great lesson there concerning Christ and the believer, somebody's individual faith that they have to trust the Lord. Here in the book of Mark, there is a clearer picture, I believe, of Christ and His relationship to the church. And so it doesn't say anything here about Peter walking on the water, but that does not mean that there's anything to worry about there. We're going to point out some things in this passage of Scripture. First of all, there's their position that they're in. Verse 45 and verse number 46. The Bible said, "In straightway he constrained his disciples." Now, what had just happened? You remember a couple of weeks ago, he had fed the multitudes. And immediately after this happened, "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray." Now the Bible says there, straightway. This immediately takes place after the feeding of the multitudes. And the reason that there's such an urgency in sending them away is actually found over in John chapter number 6. I'm going to read just a couple of verses over there. John chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. The Bible said over there, I'm just going to read verse 13, "Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten." So he just fed the multitudes. But look what happened that is recorded in the book of John, verse 14. "Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, 'This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world.' When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone." And the reason for the urgency is in that verse number 15. Jesus perceived that they were going to come and take him by force and make him a king. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, he did come to be the Messiah, to be their king. But he came to be their king on his terms, not on their terms. It had to be that they accepted him for who he was, not for what he had done. See, they were real interested in what he had done, the miracle that he had performed. And when they seen that, they said, "Boy, we cannot let him get away. We're going to go and make him be the king. Take him by force and set him up as the king." But it was because of the miracle. It was because that he had fed the multitudes, not because of his promises, not because that they had believed to begin with that he was the Messiah or anything else. So the Lord Jesus came to be the Messiah on his terms, not on their terms, not because they were going to come and make him be the king. So the Lord Jesus, he immediately put the disciples into a ship and sent them away to the other side. And the Bible says that he departed into a mountain to pray. Now there's some beautiful pictures here in this passage of Scripture. And some types here we find in the different positions that they're in. First of all, the sea. The sea is a type of the world. And the sea is an unpredictable thing. We find many places in the Bible. It's calm one minute, and the next thing you know, there's a great storm comes along. That's how the world is. It's unpredictable. It is dangerous. The sea is untamable. Calm one minute, tossed the next minute. That the sea here is a type of the world. The disciples in the ship on the sea is a type of the church in the world. Now, we're in the world, but if you're saved by the grace of God, we're in the church. And we are safe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we are not immune from the raging of the world. We as the disciples, we also find ourselves tossed to and fro, and we find ourselves in the dark, and we find ourselves tried and tempted and terrified sometimes, and just like the disciples, toiling in rowing, we find ourselves just like the disciples here upon the sea many times in our Christian life. What we have to remember is that we will always be all right as long as the sea doesn't get in the ship. Now, the ship on the sea, we're going to be all right. The sea in the ship, we're not going to be all right. And so that world in the church is what will do us in. As a church, we're in the world, but we're not to be of the world. We're affected by the things that go on in the world, but we've got to keep that there's a separation, that the world is not in us. And when that happens, we're in trouble. And if you study about the churches over in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter number 3, we see the different churches there that the letter is sent out to. Now, the church will never go out of existence, but churches cease to be. The Lord Jesus told several of those churches over there in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, if you don't repent, I'm going to remove your candlestick. I'm going to remove your witness. I'm going to remove your testimony. I'm going to remove your light. God will always have a witness. He will allow somebody else to take the light up and carry it on. And so that's why we've got to be careful that the sea does not get into the ship and put our light out. And I'm afraid there's a great many churches throughout the land today that are church in name only, but not in the presentation of the gospel, not in the power of the Holy Spirit, not in a real testimony before a lost and a dying world. There's a lot of religious organizations that are not a God-blessed church ordained of the Lord. So there's some pictures here. There's the sea, it's the world, there's the disciples in the ship. But here in this passage of Scripture, the Lord Jesus is not with them. He is on a mountain praying. That's what we find in verse number 46. He departed into a mountain to pray. So the Lord Jesus Christ sends them out. They're going to the other side. They're on the sea. He did not get in the ship this time. He departed. He went up. You'd have to, if you're at sea level and you go into a mountain, you've got to go up. He departed into a mountain. What did he do? He went up there to pray. And what we have a picture of here in this passage of Scripture, we have a picture of our ascended Lord and our interceding Lord. He ascended up into the mountain and he interceded. He prayed. He went up there for a time of prayer. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24 says, "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." And so here we are in the world. We do not have the physical presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is He and what is He doing? He's in heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father and He intercedes for us. That is the present ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the disciples out there on the sea at first, I'm sure, I mean, they're fishermen, they're used to this. And I'm sure at first there's no problem. But we're going to see here the night goes on. And I'm sure they got to feeling awful alone and wishing the Lord had got on the ship with them. But what we find out as we study this passage of Scripture, what we know that they did not know at that time, we know that they were never alone. Now, see, we see that because we're reading it here in the Bible and we see what happened. But if you'd have been those disciples out on the ship and the great wind comes along, you'd have felt all alone too. Do you ever feel all alone in this life? When everything's going fine, we don't worry about it so much. But you let a great trouble, you let a great storm come into our life, and we feel all alone. Where's the Lord? Where's the Lord at? Why did the Lord let me get in this shape? Why did the Lord let me get out here like this? Lord, where are you? Look around. Lord's nowhere to be found. Jesus was not on the ship's deck, but the Lord Jesus was in the control room. Where would you rather He be? He's in the control room. He was up on the captain's deck, we might say. He knew what was going on. That was their position. They are alone on the sea. Number two, there is their predicament. Look at verse number 47. "And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by." Now, first of all, in verse 47, "And when even was come," that means it got dark. That's what that word "even" means. It means nightfall. And things are always worse when it's dark. Have you ever noticed that? That things are always worse when it's dark or when there's bad weather. And you know what? Both of them comes on the disciples. It seems like, as a pastor, if something bad happens, it never happens in the daytime. It always happens in the middle of the night. It always happens about nightfall, darkness, or seems this way. Seems like there's a bad storm coming. Seems like there's bad weather out there. That's just sort of how life is. And so even comes, darkness comes. Now, if you're an adult and a child says, "I'm scared of the dark," you just tell them, like my dad always told me, he said, "Son, there's nothing out there at night that's not out there during the day." Well, that makes perfect sense. That is exactly right. But if you're scared, that don't help. Because you can't see. And the Lord could tell us, you know, the same thing. But if you're scared, it just doesn't make it. If you're scared, dark makes it worse. It's just worse. And so we find that it gets dark. And the Bible says in verse number 47, not only was it dark, the Bible said the ship was in the midst of the sea. That's what we call Murphy's Law. If anything can go wrong, it will go wrong. This, I think that's what Murphy's Law, I don't know who come up with that, but you know, if it can be in the worst circumstance, that's what it will be. If anything can go wrong, it will. And to me, personally, to be in the midst of the sea would be the worst possible place they could have been. It's going to be deeper there. The water is going to be rougher there. It's too far to swim back to shore. It's too far to see land. If you could see the lights of land, that'd make you feel a little better, wouldn't it, if you was out there? And you could turn around and you'd seen the houses and you'd seen a few fires or some light of some kind, or you could see the shore. It'd make you feel a little bit better, but they're too far. They are in the midst of the sea. They're too far to scream. It'd make you feel better to scream if you felt like somebody could hear you, even though they couldn't do anything. The Bible says in John 6, verse 19, that they were 20 or 30 furlongs. And I didn't think much about that, but I got to thinking, I wonder how far out they were. A furlong is 202 yards. So 20 to 30 furlongs would be 40 to 60 football fields out in the sea. That's a long ways. This is not a little pond they're crossing. It's a sea. It's a long ways. And where are they? They're right in the middle of it. They're a long ways out, 40 to 60 football fields, somewhere in that. If the storm... And this is how I would think as a disciple. You know, why couldn't that storm have come sooner? Like right before we left. If the storm would have come right before we left or just as we were leaving, we could have got back on shore. We would have never got out here in this mess. Why couldn't it have come later in the night when they were almost to the other side? That would have been... You could live with that, but no. No, when did the storm come? Right when they were in the midst of the sea. The worst possible place at the worst possible time. And here's how we are as human beings. This is the new thing we say. Well, it is what it is. What are you going to say about it? What are you going to do about it? Nothing. It just is what it is. This is what it is, and they got to deal with it. This is what it is, and... we've got to deal with it. Lord, why did this happen like this? We don't know. But the Lord knows. All we can say about it, and there's no comfort in that whatsoever. Well, it just is what it is. I think sometimes we have too little faith in the providence of God. Why did it happen when it happened? Why do things happen how they happen? I don't know, but I know there's a God in heaven that knows. That's the providence of God. None of us are here tonight by accident. God allowed all of us to come this way. Any number of things could have hindered any of us, but God allowed us to be here in His providence. He provided beforehand. He is a God that is sovereign, that rules over all, and there's nothing that happens that He don't know about. He's a sovereign God. He knew they was going to get out in the midst of the sea. In the middle of the night, He knew all that. They didn't. But the Bible goes on and says that the ship was in the midst of the sea. Then it says in verse number 47, and He alone on the land. Now that makes it worse. Now, last time, and as I've been studying the book of Mark, I'm finding that there's recurring, some things we've seen before, very like it. Now, they've been on the sea in a storm already. Do you remember that back in chapter 4? Look back there. Back in chapter 4, there was a storm. And back in chapter 4, they were scared to death. And they think they're going to die. But at least in chapter number 4, in verse number 39, And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. At least last time he was in the ship. But now they're looking around and they know he's not in the ship this time. And now, I'm speaking from, how's these disciples thinking about this? Well, last time the Lord was with us, and he saved us by just speaking. But now, they would say, there's no way. There's no way the Lord can help us now, because he's nowhere around. Humanly speaking, and we find out as we study the disciples, they thought on that humanly speaking plane most of the time. A lot of times they weren't looking for much extra. And it's amazing that they weren't, but they weren't. And so it's dark, and they're in the midst of the sea, and the Lord is alone on the land. Man, they're in a mess. But I like verse number 48, what the Bible says. Now notice this. And he saw them. Boy, you ought to underline that. That's just about shouting ground right there. Now think about it. It's dark. They are in the midst of the sea. There's 60 football fields out there. And he was alone on the land. Last thing you read in verse number 47. But verse 48 said, and he saw them. Is that humanly possible that he even saw them? That's not even humanly possible. 20 to 30 furlongs is about two and a quarter to 3 1/4 miles. In a storm, in the middle of the night, on the sea. And they're out there in the middle of it, but the Word of God says he saw them. Well, you're looking around thinking the Lord's nowhere around. You may not see him, but he sees you. But he saw them. He knew exactly where they were all the time. And he had his eye upon them all the time. And you and I, in our lives many times, may be like they are in verse 48. Now, he saw them. What did he see them doing? Toiling and rowing. Now that means toiling, it means to torture, it means pain, toil, torment, to toss, to vex. Man, they're giving it all they got. We'll learn later on, all night long. Just a little physical exertion about kills us. They are toiling and rowing all night long. They're giving it. And I do like this. I don't think they ever gave up. They never quit. But they's about to. They're exhausted. They have went. They have done to the point of toiling, torture. It's the same word that's used in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 8, when it talks about Lot, when he was down in Sodom and Gomorrah, and it said, in seeing and hearing, it vexed his righteous soul from day to day. When Lot was down there, we wouldn't even know he was a righteous person if it wasn't for the New Testament. But what he saw around him every day, it was killing him. It was vexing him. Toiling can come upon us many different ways. This toiling, this vexation. Physically, you can get worn out to the point of exhaustion. I just don't think I can stand it anymore. Mentally, same thing. Spiritually, you can get to the point where you get so run down and wore out that you just, man, I don't even know if I'm saved. I'm just killed. You ever got like that? You ever feel like that? I'm just wore out. That's how the disciples were. And so this, exertion of theirs and this anxiety of theirs, and you know, they're doing everything they can just to save their lives. After a while, you just don't know if you're going to make it, but I think we ought to underline that. And he saw them. He saw the waves. He saw the wind. He saw the weary disciples. He saw it all. He knew what was going on. Then we see number three, not only their predicament, but we see their peace. Look at verse 48. He saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. He saw them. He came walking upon the sea, the Bible said. He came in the fourth watch. Now, the evening, what we seem to begin with in verse number 47, that's nightfall. But the fourth watch of the night, that's from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. They've been out there doing this all night long. And they've got halfway across. And they are toiling. They've come just as far. We say, how long is time going to go on? How long is it going to be like this? We don't know. We don't know when the Lord's going to come. But I do believe that we know that he's going to come in the fourth watch. The fourth watch is just before the sun comes up in the worst darkness. And at the furthest point from the last time that we've seen him, that is a picture. Him coming in the fourth watch is a picture of the second coming of the Lord Jesus. He's going to come. And when he does, it'll be on time. Hebrews 10:37 is one of my favorite verses. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Say, oh, if the Lord tarries, he's coming. You heard people say that. He's not going to tarry his coming. God has a calendar. And on God's calendar, there's a day. That's the day he's coming. And it'll be on time. For yet a little while. And he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now, I don't understand all this that he would have passed them by. I don't understand. I maybe can understand what they were thinking in verse 49. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. What would you have done? You'd done the same thing. I'd have scared you to death. And you'd have thought the same thing. You'd have thought all them scary movies you watched when you was young growing up, you'd have thought that they'd all come true. They weren't looking for the Lord. And when they saw a man walking on the water, it scared them to death. And they cried out. That means they screamed like little girls. That's what it means in the Greek. I don't know that. I'm kidding. But they screamed. They cried out. And you would too. Sometimes the Lord comes and we're surprised. And we're amazed. And they were surprised. And they were amazed. They cried out. Verse number 50. The Bible says this. For they all saw him and were troubled. And you would have been too. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. Now they all recognized that voice. And from that moment on, it was all going to be all right. You can be in the worst predicament you've ever been in your life and you don't know what's going to come of it. You don't know what's going to happen, but if you can hear his voice, it's going to be all right. And they heard his voice. They recognized, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And what a sigh of relief. They knew that it is I. They knew that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything was going to be all right. Verse 51. And he went up unto them into the ship. And the wind ceased. Now they've experienced this before. We read about it over there. The wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Now, look how the Bible says that. What would your reaction be if you had been the disciples and had this same experience that they did? You think you're going to die. And the Lord's nowhere around. And here he comes walking on the water. And he cries out and he said, "Be good cheer, as I be not afraid." And he gets in the ship and the wind stops blowing. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. I mean, what that is saying there, you just can't even put into words how they felt. Sore amazed beyond measure. The sore amazed there, it means this, to put out of wits. That is to astound. I mean, the disciples, that means that they were like this. I can't believe it. I just can't believe that. I can't believe what has happened here tonight. That's what that means. Sore amazed beyond measure. They're sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. I got to thinking, you know, we've come across this before, this being amazed. And I'll give you this as we begin to close tonight. The book of Mark is the most amazing book in the Bible. And what I mean by that, the word amazed is only found 21 times in the Bible. 7 times in the book of Mark. A third of all the times that you find the word amazed in the Bible is found in the book of Mark, more than any of the others. That's why I say the book of Mark is the most amazing book in the Bible. You remember when we first started studying the book of Mark that we said that it was designed for the Roman people. They were real busy people and running to and fro, and they didn't have a lot of time for things. And so this is just one amazing thing after another. Written to a people that lived a fast-paced life with a short attention span. Sort of like us. Just every few pages in the book of Mark, they were amazed. They were amazed. They were amazed. We find it 7 times in the book of Mark. We'll come to all of them. We've already seen some of them. Verse number 52, the Bible says, now they were beyond measure and wondered. Verse 52, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves. Now that's amazing to me. They weren't sitting around in that storm, toiling and rowing. They weren't saying, "Fellas, remember what happened this afternoon. Surely we'll be all right. Surely." Anybody that could do that, we all seen it. We helped hand it all out. It was a miracle. They weren't even thinking about it. Never crossed their minds. Now that's amazing to me. The Bible said they considered not. Now, notice it does not say they remembered not. It's not that they got out there and got in this big emergency and just forgot about what the Lord had done. But the Bible says they considered not. That considered there, it means this. It means to put together, to mentally comprehend. They just took it for granted. Boy, isn't that like us sometimes? I believe when they were there and the Lord fed everybody, they just took it for granted. That's just how Jesus was. But they didn't mentally comprehend that and take it onto the boat with them and apply it to their personal lives. We are so like that. The Lord is continually doing amazing things. But we're so fast-paced, we are so busy, we don't take time to consider it. I wonder how many have really considered how wonderful it was how the Lord met with us last Sunday. I hope everybody has. I think you have. To mentally put it together. Now, the Lord really met with us. That's the same Lord that was with me on Monday and Tuesday and today. They considered not. I believe they're... And you remember how busy they were before all that happened and the Lord said to come apart. Remember we studied about that. They had been busy. He said, come apart, rest a little while. And then it all got fast again and they got to going again. And I think that was a contributing factor in their not considering what the Lord had done. Their lives, I'm talking now about the lives of the disciples, were just this. Go, 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 go. Busy, busy, busy. That's how we are. That going, going, going all the time. And that never stopping to think and meditate and reflect. Our society is like that. We get like that. And what happened to them? The Bible said in the last part of verse 52, for their heart was hardened. That means that is a poros. It's a kind of stone. It means to petrify. If we never stop to consider what the Lord has done in our midst, same thing will happen unto us. Our heart gets hard and we just don't think about it. We just take for granted everything God's done. We ought not to take it for granted. God's presence, God's help, answers to prayer. Because if we don't consider it, our heart will get hardened just like theirs was. Now, I believe it's in Matthew, maybe it's in John, but the Bible says over there, when he got into the ship, they were immediately at the seashore. So they, when the Lord comes, we're going to get where we're going immediately. That's a great picture there as well, but it's not here in the book of Mark. But if we take the other passages of Scripture in mind, when the Lord got in the boat, they were at the other side. Now, let's just quickly read verse 53 on down. I just want to say a little bit about this. I probably won't revisit it next week, but verse 53. And when they had passed over, now they get to the other side, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him. This is talking about all the people. As soon as they got out of the ship, those people on the shore, they knew who it was. Verse 55, and ran through that whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. The disciples got right back. I mean, busy. Man, the news of the Lord Jesus Christ being there spread like wildfire. They ran around and began to tell everybody, and everybody began to carry the sick out there, and whether it was a city or, verse 56, a village or city or even out into the country, wherever he was, there's people laying out. And if they were sick, if they touched, and this has happened in the book of Mark over and over and over again. Look at chapter 6, verse 13. This is when the disciples came back from their preaching tour. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. And chapter 3, verse 10, this is just a few examples. Chapter 3, verse 10, for he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him as many as had plagues. Look at chapter 1, verse 34. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. When we read of the miracles of the Lord Jesus, like the certain woman that had the issue of blood in chapter 5, that's just one example. We need to remember in reading the Bible, you read about specific people that were healed. That was just one person. How many examples there are, I'm not exactly sure, but there could have been hundreds of thousands of examples. Because everywhere he went, there were sick people. And nobody came and touched him that didn't go away healed. What the Lord Jesus Christ did when he was here upon the earth, it was not done in secret. It was out in the open, and everybody, I mean multitudes of people, knew about the Lord Jesus Christ. The popularity of the Lord Jesus was just phenomenal. That all these people, and yet, and we're going to get into the next chapter, how the leaders especially, boy, they couldn't see it. They couldn't see it, but evidence was everywhere. Everywhere that he was the Messiah. But they would not see it. They would not see it. And boy, that applies to our day and time as well. But I just wanted to touch on those verses. I don't know that I'll come back to them because we've seen this same thing everywhere he went. Everywhere he went, people were getting healed. And it was spread abroad throughout the whole. So lots of good things here in Mark chapter number 6. And I know we've all found ourselves on the sea and wondering where he was, but he saw them. That was the biggest blessing I got out of that. He saw them. And he came at the right time. I'm sure they'd have wished he'd come in the third watch, but he came in the fourth watch. So I enjoyed studying that out. I hope you got something out of it tonight.